spoke and a team with him. And it was neat, the team he had. But I heard a number of you comment on Ashley's message and how much that came back to you during the year. Numerous people here. And they never do that with my messages, Ashley, usually. But with your message, they were just continually, like, talking about it. So I just wanted you to know that. And come and share your heart with us. No pressure, yeah. And maybe, would you like a little stand? Can we fix that for Ashley? We've known Ashley, how long have we known you? Since
20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Ashley came to this town, for those, because we have new people here that Ashley hasn't even met. Ashley came to town 20 years ago and was really part of a young people's revival that took place, one that was kind of, I felt like, needed more spiritual guidance than it had. And Ashley, I really felt, was giving that to them in many ways. And lots of great stuff. Lots of people have been touched. And over the years, Ashley has tried to get over here and just make contact with his friends. And Oak Street Church is a friend to Ashley, and he's our friend. And someday, Ashley, I want to get to that little island. But so anyway, just be blessed that you get to hear a very I meant to circulate this. Sorry, Peggy. It's in my hand, and I don't remember the announcement. Oh, here's the pen that goes with it, John. So there's a few spots for Monday meal. Sign up. We need just a few. Every one, there's four spots to sign up, and I think there's some empty blanks. So if some of you want to serve, and we'll just pass that around today. Sorry, Peggy. And then we'll come up probably with more of that later. Okay, I kind of messed up my introduction. So I don't have any more to say great things to you.
Thanks, Mike.
Wow.
Welcome.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man. That's a pleasant good morning.
I fall asleep today during your sermon. It's only because I haven't slept for like 48 hours.
You excuse, Rack. Well, it's so good to be back at Oak Street Church. I will try to speak a little slower. Being in the Bahamas for a year adds to my Caribbean accent, which I didn't know I have, by the way. Yeah, I really didn't know that until I came here and everybody was keep picking on me. Yeah, but it's great. Oak Street is, like Breck said, is a part of my life. It's my family. I don't get to comment much on Facebook and don't get to go on a lot of people's page like I want to. You know, as you grow, your community of people grows. And some of the people you love the most, you just don't have the time to say hello like you would like to. I love every time I come to Oak Street, I just see new people. That means God is doing something incredible. He's always working in our community. He's expanding his church, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Just bow just for a moment. Just bow with me with prayer. Father and our God, we do give you thanks. Father, I bless you that you are such a faithful God, that you give each of us the ability to come. I pray, Father, you would just use my voice. Use every part of me to demonstrate you today. I pray that your love, your kingdom would be expressed. And God, the desires and the heart that you have for us would be released. And God, I pray that each of us would be open to receive just what you have for us, God. We are sitting at this banqueting table just waiting for our plate to be filled. And God, give us our portion this day, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to get that out of the way so that God could just have his way. I wanted to talk to you about something that has been really my passion, and it is holding on to faith. You know, we are in a changing time. It's just like we're being pressed on every side to examine our lives and see what's going on. And then we're adjusting. In our process of adjusting, there's always this slight tweaking that we have to do with our lives. And sometimes it really affects our church life or our ministry life. Let me give you a story, and this is about me personally. Now, no cell phones, because I don't want to see it on YouTube, all right? Just put it low. But I wanted to share this because it is my art. Maybe about 4 years ago, I got home off a missions trip, 5 years, and no, let me go back, about 8 years. I really went to the halt. I went the distance, and I said, oh, I'm so excited to go back home and to share my experience. And I got home, and not everybody was excited as I was. I got home, and then the Lord says, there's something different I want you to do. I got connected with a group of young adult people, and within a year, I was chosen to be the executive director of this program, and we were doing great. I mean, talk about 1,200 young adult people following and training in ministry. We had this thing going on, and then the pressures of life just kind of took over. You know, I was challenged now at somewhere in the 30s, you know, and I'm looking around, and all of my friends and people who had, like Clayton, who had baptized and stuff, was married now and had houses and cars and kids, and saying, what's going on, God? What happened to me? Why do I feel like I'm being left out? Well, there was a change. All of a sudden, I started examining my life and started questioning things that were once priority. They were my passion and my love, but I was looking at them and I'm saying, am I investing too much of myself towards these things that I'm missing out on some of life's beauty and goodness and benefits? Am I giving too much of myself to others that I am falling short in some other areas, you know? Am I making too much sacrifices that others may hear and receive? Because there I was already almost investing close to 15, 16 years in ministry, 13 of them as a missionary, making countless sacrifices. I won't tell you about it, how deep those sacrifices went. I mean, sometime I left here and I worked for 3 months and came back and lived and didn't make any money. I just spent what I had just to do missions, to share the love of God with other people. I was to the point where I felt like I'd given so much, but I was looking around thinking, what do I have in return? 32, and everybody else is married. Wow. No kids, no what you would have, the American dream was nowhere in sight, although I was Bahamian, by the way. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I just felt like maybe I'm missing something. Here poses the challenge. Now, I'm sharing my story because a lot of us go through that experience where you start off in church and the ministry, and you start giving of yourself, and you turn around and you see others don't give at the level you're giving, and so I feel like I'm giving too much. Maybe I'm sacrificing too much. Maybe there's, I can just pull back a little and save a little for myself and my family. But then there's the challenge. I left like Jonah. I quit. I resigned from leading that group of young adults. And when I left, the whole movement kind of dried up. And they said, well, if you don't do it, nobody wants to do it. And I said, I just had enough. I've given too much. And so I said, God, all I want at this point is just to go to church. You know, hey, some of you know what I'm talking about. I just want to sit in the back so I get the quick exit after church. I really don't want too much people to talk to me because I've given enough. And you know, God always, I guess, he's looking down at me and smiling and saying, this isn't new. You're not the first. I'm not shocked, nor am I surprised. Your behavior isn't brand new. I mean, Elijah did it first, right? Or Elijah, he hollered out and said, oh, I'm the only one left. And God said, I got, what? thousands hidden. You think you're the only one going through this experience. But I was challenged again. So I tried to do the Jonah move. Everybody know what Jonah did, right? Got on a boat, which I did. Went to try to sail off to a small island, which I did. But fortunately for me, praise the Lord, that I didn't get to be thrown in the water and swallowed by a big fish. But I made it safely to land, and God did something amazing. One year, I sat on that, I kind of went to church, but before I knew it, I got in church, and oh, this is out of place. This is not working. So I'm fixing all of these things, and everybody was just praying. And my grandmother says to me, she said, "We've been praying for a young pastor." Oh, what? What did I got myself into? I was running away from ministry, and God is smiling because he was sending me to ministry. Now I was in the biggest place of challenge in my life because I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a pastor. Breck. It's not the easiest job in the world. Everybody just figures the pastors have the most fun. No. After everybody leaves, you still have to be here. First man on and last man off. But I was challenged with this. I'm going to try to be quick, but that was my story. And that's why I'm going to talk about this today. That no matter where you find yourself, God just wants you to hold on to hope. Understand, your calling isn't only just about you. And your sacrifices is not about you. The things that you're going to give up or release is God seeding you to the earth. Seeding you to other people's heart. I am most blessed, and I kind of live with Clayton because he's always been that beacon for me. When I come back, I'm reminded of my experiences here. He's been a testimony of, if you seed good seed, you'll have trees that have fruit. You know, he left Oak Street and Silverton and went to Sheridan, and there in the ministry, seeding himself also, giving to kids. I'm always challenged by that. He makes the sacrifices that I sometimes say, "Wow, bro, I don't know if you really want to do that, because I did that." And then I'm reminded that there needs to be sacrifice. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, we don't ever have a harvest. There's nothing coming back off of it. And a lot of us are challenged because we don't want to give to that measure where it feels like we're dying to ourselves. Or we, and how many know that I had a dream? I had many dreams, and one of them was I wanted to go to college. And God sent me on the mission field. Oh, man, that's different. I wanted to be a businessman, and everybody after high school said Ashley would be the most likely to succeed and be a great businessman, and God called me to pastor a church that don't make money. There is something strange the way he orchestrates or kind of works through our lives that we can't see in our everyday. But he's doing something special, and he's seeding us. For this very purpose, we were called to be used as seed. He says a farmer went out into a field, and then he took seeds and he just scattered it. With little regard to wherever those seeds may fall. Sometimes the seed have no option. What? The seed didn't have an option where it was going to land on good soil or hard rocks or among thorns. Only choice it had to do was to grow and come forth and produce. Now, how do I get over there? Let me go where I need to be. I get these 4 points, and they were really, really in my spirit, and I want to share them with you. The first one is in holding fast to what God called you to do, you have to establish a place of stronghold. Now, sometimes when you think about stronghold, stronghold is always brought about as a negative response to something in your life. Everybody tell you about the sin, the stronghold of the sin. But they never tell you that when you watch like Lord of the Rings, they always had a stronghold. I do. I love that movie. There is places for stronghold, positive strongholds. Now, let me share this with some of you. Your church is a positive stronghold. What? Yes, it is. People struggle coming to church and saying, why do I have to do it? But isn't it good that you have a place where you could go and be comfortable with your faith and be able to express yourself freely with other people of similar belief? Isn't that a good place? Everybody, they had that TV show Cheers. Everybody likes to go someplace where everybody knows your name. And I always feel good when I come to Oak Street because everybody knows my name. It's a good feeling. It's not just comfortable. It just reminds you of how loved you are and how amazing God is. That he had such a plan in place that he made someplace comfortable and blessed for us to go. See, I won't be able to read all my scripture texts, and thank you, madam. But I will pull this out of our text because I was reading from Hebrews chapter 10, 22 to 25. And I'll just go right on down to 23 and 24. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Then it reads on and said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Amen. See, when you enter a good body, it isn't always easy to fit. It's not going to be a perfect fit in the beginning because you're brand new, a new brand. If you take something that is new and you add it to something that is old, you got to do some chipping, right? Come on, the perfect analogy would be river stones. You put a new stone in the river, it's not smooth. But give it a couple of years of rubbing on other stones, the edge just rubs off. And all you have is fitted, perfect, smooth-edged stones. When you join a body or a church, it's not always going to be beautiful in the beginning. You're going to rub edges with some people like me. I have what they would call them sandpaper type skin. I rub off on people better. So I make other people smooth because God called me to be a little tougher and with a bit more resolve. Some people don't like it. And it's not always easy to have abrasive, rough-edged people around you, Brack. But they are good for you. They are good for you because they help to rub you and smooth out the edges and helps you to fit in. But some of us reject it because we are challenged about the position that we placed in. Church do that for you. It's a good place. It says here that when we gather ourselves together, he is just supposed to use us to stir each other to good work. Now, the mixing is not always an easy process, right? Come on, the guy stirring has to work. And the food that is being stirred has to be shared throughout the pot. So the broccoli loses some of its limbs and it slides over there. It's a hard process to make good soup. But God is stirring each of us and making us a pot that is right, that is portions for everybody. Some of us can be chipped off like myself where you feel like you've just given so much. It almost feel like only the bone is left. Huh? You ever had the soup and then the meat falls off the bone and somebody only gets the bone? No meat? Sometimes that's how it feels like. There is just nothing left. But bone got flavor in it. There's something God could still pull out of the bone. So even in that final stage, there's something still to be given in ministry. First, I want you to consider that. Build strongholds, positive strongholds. Make the church family. And the one thing about family is you can't divorce family, amen? Whether you like it or not, whether you love them or not, your brother will always be your brother. He could mistreat you, but he's still your brother. He could don't talk to you for 15 years. He's still your brother. You can't get out of that relationship. God has bound us together through the blood of Jesus Christ to be the family of God, an example of hope, a strong place for the believer. At the end of the scripture, the Apostle Paul spoke to us, and he says, listen, or the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together, because there's a benefit. When we come together, we strengthen each other. Iron sharpens iron. But it's not an easy process. It's never easy for someone else to rub you to make you better. But some of us hate to be rubbed or to lose a little bit of edge. Sharpening a piece of metal means that you have to take some of it away to give it an edge. Do not consider yourself to be losing by laying down your own life. But you are gaining, not only for eternity, you know, you are gaining because you are seeding yourself into someone else. That's why I tell you, Thursday we were able to have a kind of reunion with some of the kids from 15 years ago. And for a moment there, it was a little hard because I was, until Justin came, I was the only single person. All these kids I helped raise were all married, and I had 2, 3, 4 kids. I'm, what happened, God? But then I remember you're being used to seed. So when you look at trees never say, oh, how come he has more fruit than me from a plant that comes from itself? It produces after its own kind and is never jealous of the tree that it produces. Point number two, and I almost on my time, says, view the relationships and church as God sees it. Examine each person. You know, when I see Otto and Joyce, it's always a blessing to me because they're like fathers and mothers to me. He always speak. Whenever he shares a prophetic word, I can be comforted in knowing that God is speaking because I understand the relationship. I value the relationship. Brett, what's a challenge in my life? Amen? Because the very first time I came to Silverton, he took me for lunch, and it was not an easy lunch. He questioned me. Why are you here? What is it? Good, I know what he was doing. I'm trying to figure out, what's your purpose? What's your assignment? And I believe through that relationship, the Lord has allowed him to seed into my life and be a blessing to me, him and Kathy both. Gail in the back there and Craig, when we started the Saturday night services, they were parents with some other folks. And whenever we start getting too excited, we got words that was reminding you need to calm down. Follow, lead, walk, listen. See, the value of these relationships that sometimes we take for granted in church is that we missed out of grandparents, wisdom, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, good relationship, people you could lean to. I have friends in church that are closer to me than my immediate family, my blood relatives. They respond faster. Why? They understand we have kingdom duties. We have a greater calling. See, I want you to know you will be challenged in these relationships. Psalms 26:1, and David said, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Everything works together for the good. My church family works together for my good. Those relationships work together for my benefit. Do I like everything that I go through? No. Do I like all of the experiences? No. Some of them very difficult, very hard. Trust me, how many of you know how to be single for a very long time? No, I know. I have. It's not always desirable, but it has its benefit. Paul says it's like this. He says, a single man can focus on the work of the ministry without any kind of compromise. But a married man, his first heart or his first desire is towards his family. See, we have different positions. We have different workings. And so that the benefit of having unmarried people is you could call on them at any time. The disadvantage is that, well, they can leave at any time. They can just get up and go. You have nothing that really grounds them to you. Third point. Your obedience is a testimony to others. See, when you walk in the body, you demonstrate the kingdom every day. Because you have to demonstrate love in challenging situations. You gotta love some people who you hate to love. Right? You are challenged to give so much of yourself, but other people are watching your life in a will be blessed and moved by it, and they would experience it. My life was seeded by a young missionary from Sio, Oregon. And God brought me here to seed my life by. He came to the Bahamas at the age of 19 and lived among us for almost 8 years. He was the first guy I know that would take a whole busload of kids to his house and feed them. That's where I got my ministry from, by watching him. He was the first guy I know that was challenging enough to walk on a basketball court being a white guy and challenge everybody on the court to come to the Lord. He was the first guy that I knew that was bold enough to come to me, hanging out with my wonderful girlfriend and tell her I don't know how to love her. He was bold. Ridiculously radical. And he seeded his passion into my life. That forced me to come here and run in the streets. And wave people down and say, hey, oh, come. Jesus loves you. You know, when I first came to Silverton, I was telling the joke. I said, within 1 month, I knew every police officer because they was trying to figure out, why are you here? They stopped me all the time. And after 1 month, everybody was like, hey, Ashley. Hey. See, but God would take some challenging situations too. Everybody said, you weren't offended? I said, no, I knew I would have to give of myself. And that means even the things that I am offensive by, or I could choose to be offended by, I will have to make those sacrifices and say, for the sake of the kingdom, or for the sake of other people, I will endure my cross. Your obedience is a testimony. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Because of the proof this ministry provides, that means your ministry, because of the things that you do, other people will come. That's how you live with your neighbors. Oh, yeah, my neighbor doesn't put his trash out and his dog kicks it over and I have to clean it up every morning. I'm so tired, I'm about to call City Hall on them and have the police. Think about it. How is that a good example? No, you rake up your neighbor. Hey, I take up the garbage this morning. So? You don't get a reward. But do something that would be an example. They're watching, you know. They're watching to see how you live. You got all those peaches on your tree, and you don't pick them up. Come get some peach. And get some apples. Just let the kids come and pick the berries. Watch people. Because they begin to see the heart of Jesus in you. They don't know why you're doing it. You don't always have to have a preach. I moved to Andres, and because everybody there knows me personally, it wasn't a secret that I was coming. And everybody was on the edge. Well, Ashley is a missionary that travels all over the world. The first thing he's going to do is he's going to come preaching to everybody. And that was my intention. I already had my plan. Start here. Go door to door. And the Lord says, no. The Spirit of God has a different plan. I want you to come in, live with these people. Like, that's not how I do ministry. I'm the preacher. I like to do one call and have everybody come. He said, no. I want you to come in and befriend some people. Sit in their homes and visit with them. Buy some grocery for somebody who doesn't have some. And this was challenging to me. Because this is not how I taught how ministry is done. But here, he says, when you give this example, you begin to give proof that the love of God is in you. And you are demonstrating Jesus. For God so loved the world, he was willing to give his best. This was God's heart and God's plan for his church, that we would demonstrate him in the earth. We would be that example of hope. Paul says, be even to the believers, you got to be hope and joy. People have to watch you persevere under hardship, and then they become, God can deliver. People watch your joy when you go through sickness and you don't be depressed all day. Oh, I am so sick. That's your testimony. I'm not telling you to lie, right? That's not the purpose of this, is to say, it's all good. I'm good. I'm highly favored and blessed, and you're broke. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, hey, man, God is capable. God is able. That's my testimony. How things going with you? God is working it out. What you meaning? It may not be perfect yet. But there's a day when I will be able to testify he has delivered me. I didn't start here. I was zeal without knowledge when I first came to Silverton. I was on everybody's back. You walking down the street and I was on your back. You need Jesus. That was passion. But now over the years, God has given me a bit more wisdom. So sometimes you have to just build relationship. And especially in church, you just don't let people leave without you saying how things are with you. And don't be church people about it. You know how you say, hey, how you doing? And walk off the same time. No. Stay and listen and visit for a moment. Hey, how are you doing? That's one thing I like about Breck. Right, Clayton? Because he's going to take us for something to eat. He's going to visit for a while over lunch. And that's a guy like me likes lunch. That's a good place to catch me over lunch. Give me your story. I will listen to your whole life story over lunch. But share. Be that. Be that way where you can give of yourself. Last point. With this fellowship that we have, this relationship, we have to be like our Father, where his covenant is unchanging. No matter your position, God doesn't change how he sees you. Sometime in church, we have it where Brother Ashley is doing so good, we promote him to the front. Then all of a sudden, this relationship got a little wavy. We put him back to the back. God doesn't do that with us. He is long-suffering, patient with his love. He's so merciful that he doesn't even judge you. Because he's not surprised, brother, Dad. He's not surprised, you know. When you mess up, God is never surprised. You don't, I didn't know. I didn't know you were going to do that. God is not, you never catch God off guard with your mess. That's why you can always go back to him. He says, 1 John 1:9, if you confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive you and restore you. It's not about keeping a record. Second row, Brother Otto. Second row, go back one row. You didn't make it, sir. You didn't keep up with your prayers this week. Go back two rows. No, he's not doing that over your life. He's trying to stir up and perfect what is in you. And he understands every trouble. He says, we have a savior, an intercessor, who make it intercession or intercedes on our behalf, who understands our infirmities. Who's Jesus? Who was tried with every possible temptation. That's why he understands it so well. If you got your issue, God knows that about you better than you do. God understands that before he even allowed you to be saved. Before the Holy Spirit ministered to your heart for salvation, God knew your issues. He's not troubled by your issues. He is unchanging in his promise. He's so faithful. I love that about him. Even when I was ready to give up and say, God, I just won't be a part of the church. I don't want no leadership. I don't want nobody to call me pastor. I don't even want to be named evangelist. Don't even let me be the usher. I just want to come in and sit on the back seat so I could get out quick. He was just smiling with me. I knew exactly what I called you to do. You just haven't come to the full realization of it. You don't understand Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. Every time I try to hide or pull away, God says, I know the plans I have, which supersede even your own troubles or your difficulties. My plans are bigger than your mistakes. Your errors, your undesirables, God's plans outweigh them. He is justified when he judges, because he knows the complete story from beginning to end. I didn't really plan to say that this morning. That's how the Holy Spirit took me. I left the whole notes right there. But that's how he just led me to, listen, man, love where you are. Be used where you are. Give where you are. Be seated by the Spirit of God. Let God bless people through you, that you may demonstrate the kingdom. Let the love of God be expressed. You know, Clayton always makes me laugh. We come across the bridge, and I'm kind of from a small. When you don't move on time, we get a little frustrated because we have smaller spaces and we need people to always be moving. And I was like, hey, come on, move. And he's like, like, what? I guess from living in open spaces, you kind of say, hey, they can move anyhow. But I was so blessed to see someone else demonstrate something that may be a struggle in my life. And not judge me based on my imperfection. Because he could say, hey, you the pastor, how come you getting frustrated? Well, we deal with a lot more people's stuff. So we always wound up right back. You just got to push the right button and pastors will go off on you. They always wound up. But I just want to share that this morning. Oak Street, I believe God seated you here for this season. However long it is, but don't forsake assembling yourself, because you have a portion of what needs to be demonstrated. There's a deposit in you that someone else needs. We have some young people coming up in the faith. Be willing to seed that. Take the time out. Bless somebody else. Pray for them. Prophesy over them. Declare over their lives. Smallest of ministry. You could always bring me a bag of peach. I love peach. I'm always grateful when somebody remembers me. Where that says somebody blessed me today with a gift, and I don't take those things for granted. I have all the Kathy birthday cards she gave me in a little special place. Because that's special to me. You didn't know that, eh? Yeah. When I left, Gail gave me some cards. Hey, Ashley, thank you for seeding. I love every time I come on Facebook, I see something from Christy, and she says, hey, we missed you. I'm glad to hear you coming back. That blessed me. That blessed me more than you could think, because somebody is seeding something back. When I come into church and everybody remembers my name, that blessed me. Not everybody likes that, but I like that. I love that. I love that. There is always something good about when you can give just a little of yourself. You bless other people without knowing it. Could you bow with me just for a minute? Father and our God, I pray you would help each of us to understand what we are called to do. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would move in our spirit, revive the places that we are challenged with, God. Remove the burdens and the yokes. For you said in your word, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I pray today, Father, that as each have heard your word, we would not just be hearers, God, but become doers. We would not see coming to church as a burden, but we would understand that we have seeds to be sown. We have portions that are to be given. I pray mercies on our lives, that we would be expressions of God's mercy in the earth. We would be demonstration of his love every day. We would love each other without bridles, Lord God. We would not hold things in our hearts, but we would be free to let the Spirit of God lead us, guide us, and direct us. I pray your blessings in this day. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you. Steve, do you want to play some music today as we close?